Amen. 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 Don't you love it when the music matches? Don't you love it when the flow is going? See, that's just the flow of the Spirit. That's the flow of the Spirit that's happening. And I agree. I want to live like that. I do. Let me give you a number this morning as we open up the Word of God here in just a moment. Let me give you a number this morning. 8,760. Now, if you're paying attention to the church sign out front and not, you know, all the driving and stuff, hopefully you're paying attention to the driving. But you will notice that today's sermon is called 8,760. Now, that is not the amount of money that's in my bank account, unfortunately. Okay. It is not the number of miles that are on my car. It's not how many friends, 8,760, that I have on all my social media with Instagram and Facebook. That's not what that number means. 8,760 is how many hours there are in 2014. Did you know that? That's how many hours that you have. When January 1st and the clock strikes midnight and it's 12:01 and the new year comes by, you have 8,760 hours to do something with for the next 365 days. Now, let me give you a disappointing number. You have already used up 107 of them as of right now. If I added them correctly, you have used up 107 already. That leaves us 8,653 left. Now, Wally would be very proud of me because I'm putting a lot of numbers up here. 8,653 is what we have left. Just a little over 8,600 hours to accomplish everything that we want to do in 2014. That includes the time that you eat. That includes the time that you sleep. That includes your time for leisure. It includes everything that you want to do is wrapped up within 8,653 hours. Now, I know that some of us in here, we like to work by a calendar. Okay, some of us in here, we've got them maybe on our phones or we've got them on our desktops or something, but we like to work by a calendar. I'm a big picture guy. Okay, I like to see the whole 30 days or 31 days. 28 if it's February. I like to see that all at once. I'm not really a hard detail guy. I got to be honest with you. If you begin to plan minute by minute for me, then I get a little lost in that because I like to see a bigger picture. But the problem is, because I'm not a minute by minute guy, is that I end up wasting a lot of my 8,760 hours in a year. I end up wasting this precious time. Now, I was also at Kroger's last night, and oh my word, that was a mistake. But anyway, the snowpocalypse was coming in, and all I wanted to do really was just get some dinner for us last night. And I ended up getting into the crowd of people that knew that a lot of snow was coming in, and maybe I just didn't prepare well enough. But anyway, I noticed this, is that as I was waiting in a very long line for the checkout, and I was kind of bored, people watching and that sort of thing, as you all know, is that you see these magazines that are on the side of every, you know, checkout stand and that sort of thing. And of course, all the front pages, they say all kinds of different things on it. I found out in just the short time I was there in 2013 what celebrities have got married. I found out what celebrities have gotten divorced. I found out which ones are in rehab. Just in the few minutes that I was waiting there at Kroger's, I also found out that there were some things that our president did this year, and I'm just going to leave it at that. All right, I'm not going to talk anything more about that. But I also knew that I saw this too. There were some of them, and as I was just kind of waiting there to pay for my things, I saw that there was a lot of review for 2013, but then there were predictions for 2014. Now, I have to be honest with you is that I don't put much, if any, stock whatsoever in the predictions that are coming up because a lot of these people, they will predict anything from what will happen for the rest of 2014 or maybe 5, 10 years, maybe even sometimes 20 years down the road. Most of them, if not all of them, are proven inaccurate. But it goes to show us this is that we think a lot about time. We think a lot about this 8,760 hours that we have, especially at the beginning of the year. And what we're going to do is this, is that if you were to take a review, and maybe you did this on December 31st, I don't know. But if you were to take a review of 2013, I think that there would probably be a few common threads with each of us in here. But one of the main common threads I think that we would all probably say is that we were busy in 2013, that our lives seemed to have a lot going on. For some of us in here, we are always in a hurry. In fact, for most of us in here, we walk fast, we talk fast, we eat fast. And then usually after we eat, we say, excuse me, I have to get up and I have to run. I have to go. Because as humans, especially in the society that we live in right now, we are always, always in a hurry. And I wonder this. At the beginning, this is the first Sunday of 2014. We have about 8,600 hours left in this year. And my question is this for us this morning that we need to discover about our entire year is that will we be busy this year? An even better question is this, what will we do with the time that we are allotted in 2014, these 8,600 hours that we have left? What do we want to accomplish? Will we be able to look back at joy when December 31st comes this year, all right? When the 8,759th hour comes on December 31st of this year, will we look back with joy on what happens in 2014? Or will we look back with regret because there was a lot of time that was wasted? If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open up to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. We're going to discover some truth this morning, especially when it comes to our time. There's probably no better passage right now, and it may be no better Sunday to talk about this than the first Sunday, because this is a great time to go ahead and to set some goals and even set some calendars for a year on what we're going to do with this time. Ephesians chapter 5, 16 and 17. This is what it says. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music with the Lord, make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I think I went over a couple verses, but that's okay. God's got something there for us. All right, let's dig into this a little bit on what this means about our time. When we talk about 2014, when we talk about the 8,600 hours we have left, let's talk about this. The first thing we need to do is this. We need to understand, and I think that we all know this, but our time on earth is limited. The Bible actually talks very specific about how much time God allows us here on the earth. In Psalm 39, verse number 4, it says this. It says, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. And then in Psalm 90, verse 10, it says this. The length of your days is 70 years or 80. And if we have the strength, then they quickly pass and we fly away. Now, I realize here that for some of us in here, 70 or 80 seems like a long way away. Some of us in here are sitting on that number, okay? Some of us in here may have already just had a birthday just recently, but we won't give the age. But anyway, 70 or 80. I knew this. When I was in my 20s, I thought that 40 was going to be old. I'll tell you right now, I'm 45. That is not old, okay? So those of you who are in your 70s and 80s, you can look at me and you can say that that is not old, all right? But what we understand is this. Time is relative, all right? Time is relative. For example, being a father of five daughters and a former youth pastor, I know that to teenagers, time is very relative, especially if they are in love. Oh, if we have teenagers who are in love, then time becomes so relative, doesn't it? Let me give you an example. Unfortunately, it might be too real of an example, is that you have two kids that are sitting in a car, a young boy and a young girl, and he has tried to get her home on time because he knows what the father has said, that he needs to get this girl home on time. But they're sitting out in front of the driveway, and they just begin to talk because, oh, they're in love. And 2 hours seems like about 5 minutes to them. Now, you've got a mom and dad that are inside looking through, right, the Venetian blinds, and time is relative to mom and dad because those 2 hours feel like a complete eternity. So it just depends on which side of the fence that you're sitting on as to how relative the time is for you. A psalm that says this is that we are to remember our days. Now, why in the world do we need to remember our days? Why do we need to be aware of this time that we have? Well, it's so that we can develop a heart of wisdom. Verse 12, we need to develop a heart of wisdom. We need to understand that there is a certain amount of time that God has placed us here, and we have a certain amount of time even in 2014. Why? Because God says that there is a will out there, and he wants us to have a heart of wisdom to be able to understand this will. Let me ask you this. If you actually knew how many days you had left, that might be kind of scary to think about. But if you actually knew how many days you had left, would it change how you would forgive someone? Would it change how others would forgive you? Would you try to right some wrong relationships? Would it change the generosity that you have? Instead of gathering, 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 would we be a little bit more of giving, giving, giving? If you knew how many days that you had left, would you try to take care of any regrets that you may have once you leave to go to eternity? These are interesting thoughts to maybe ponder a little bit. The Bible tells us this, is that even though that a calendar says that we have 8,760 hours in the year 2014, the Bible says we don't even count on tomorrow. We shouldn't even count on tomorrow because only God knows that number. All that we have is right now. Our time on earth is extremely valuable because it's very limited. The calendar may say we have a lot, but we don't know. And so every single moment that we have, every single breath that we take in, every moment of time that goes by, God is saying this, that we must live each moment wisely. Not making so many plans so far down the road and saying, I will have time to take care of that later, whatever that may be. We need to live each moment wisely because we don't know when our life is going to end. Ephesians 5:16 says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I don't need to teach you guys this. You all know this. Jesus said it. Satan is a robber. He is a thief. He's going to try to steal everything that we have. He's going to try to steal relationships. He's going to try to steal money. He's going to try to steal everything. But do you know the very thing that is probably the easiest for him to steal? Is our time. Because he allows, or he tempts us into, that's a better word, he tempts us into being so busy that we are then robbed of, quite frankly, the most precious commodity that you have in your life. Did you hear what I said? Your time is the most precious commodity that you have. It's not your health. Let me tell you why. Because at least in the time that we live in right now, if I get sick, there are some medications that should give me my health back. Now, I know that there are exceptions, but we live in a time where we can get that back. Relationships are not necessarily our most precious commodity, because if we steward our relationship right, even if we have lost a relationship, if we go back to try to make it right, we can actually get that back. Money is definitely not your most precious commodity. You could lose everything. We could lose it all and have nothing. But because of the time that we live in, we can actually make money back. But once you have spent time, you will never, ever get it back. The 107 hours that have already been spent in 2014, we will never get back, and it is our most precious commodity, and that is what Satan begins to put a bullseye on in your life and in my life. Think of the time that we all waste in sin. Think about the time that we've wasted building up prideful goals. As we look back in the years that we've had, and we've wasted these moments that God has given us. We've wasted them in gossip. We've wasted them in spreading rumors. We can go on and name off all kinds of sins that we've wasted things in, but we've wasted it on things that will ultimately turn to dust. That once we leave this earth, those things that we held on to that took up our time, every one of those are going to turn to dust also. And so the question has to become, what am I spending my time with? Am I wasting it? Satan is a thief and he's a robber and he's going to make us worry about things. He's going to give us anxiety of what's to come. He's going to give us worries about things of the past. All of these things God is saying, why are you caring about those? Care about the moment. And Satan is trying to put it in our minds that we need to think about our past, that we need to think so far ahead. And he's stealing what it is that God's trying to give us, which is time. But it's not just about sin either. There are also demands on our time that are the good things too. Sometimes even the good things can take time away from us. Everyone in here, I'm sure, is very familiar with Mary and Martha. It's in Luke chapter 10. Mary and Martha. We always go to Martha. Poor Martha. We go to Martha when we want to talk about someone that was doing the right thing. She was just doing it at the wrong time. And she was so frustrated. All that she was doing was cooking a meal. But she's so frustrated because her sister Mary was sitting down in front of Jesus. Martha was thinking that Mary was wasting time, that her time would have been better spent with her doing something that is good, is cooking a meal, right? There's no sin in that. As a matter of fact, thank you very much for cooking a meal. But then Martha looks at Jesus, and this is what she says. It's in Luke chapter 10. She says, Lord, don't you even care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to come and help me. And Jesus answered, I love it. Martha, Martha. Can't you just see him going like this? Oh, Martha, 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 Martha. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus is saying, Mary has chosen the right thing to do with her time. Yes, Martha, cooking a meal, that is the right thing. But at this very moment, the very right thing to do with your time is to come and to sit at my feet. What Martha didn't realize is that in the time that she spent in the kitchen, she would never get back because sitting in her living room was God. God was sitting in the living room, but she spent her time in the kitchen. It's not a sin, but it steals us away. It steals us away from spending time with God. It's the same mistake you and I make every single day. We get so caught up in the here and now. We get so caught up with the here and now that we fail to deal with the eternal. Let me tell you something that stole my time this morning. This is obviously not in my sermon because it just happened. Is that all this snow and all this weather stole my time. Isn't that funny? The guy that's supposed to be preaching and telling, and God speaks to the guy that's teaching the loudest. Is that last night I was watching the news and I was seeing what was going on and I knew what was coming. You know, and I'm like, Lord, you've got to help us. You know, calling on some wisdom of some of your board members and hey, give me some opinion of what we are to do. Had a restless sleep last night because I was worried about you all coming in here. I was worried about a parking lot that wasn't cleared off just yet. On Sunday mornings, God allows me to get here about 6:30 in the morning. He wakes me up early enough that I can get here about 6:30 every Sunday morning. And what I do is I spend several hours in prayer with him right here at these altars. No one's in here. It's actually, to be honest with you, it's kind of nice. You're free to join me at any point. But I spend time with the Lord preparing on Sunday for what it is that will either be taught or worshiped or whatever it is that God wants to do. And I continually listen and ask the Lord what he wants to do. And you know what? I allowed that time to be stolen this morning. Because when I got here, the parking lot wasn't plowed, and I was concerned about you all. I was concerned that we would have a hard time walking in, and Satan tempted me, and I allowed it to happen, that my time with Jesus this morning was stolen from me so that I could try to take care of the things that needed to be taken. I was Martha this morning. It needed to be taken care of. It needed to be taken care of. But as I was doing that, I honestly felt in my spirit that Jesus was saying, but I'm sitting right here in your living room. Won't you take some time with me? And so let me confess to you this, as your pastor, and we're family talking right now. Okay, this isn't preaching, this is family talking. Is that while you were in Sunday school back there, is that I had to go in my office and I had to get things right before God before I ever came up here and talked to you. And to make sure that I was sitting at the feet of Jesus and not just Martha wanting to feed you a good meal. And so, just know that even as your pastor, I'm hearing what it is that I'm preaching, and I want to be able to apply what it is that God is teaching. We can't let Satan steal our time, even on the things that seem important at the moment, that need the responsibility of it. Jesus must be first. Jesus is sitting in our living room. Will we give him the time? Keep going here. The next thing that we're overloaded in is this, all right? We're overloaded. Let me just say that. We're overloaded. We're overloaded in our time commitments. We're overloaded going from here and there. We're overloaded with functions and activities. Our calendars are constantly full. We've got to go somewhere. And this is, again, these are not necessarily bad things that we're going to. It's just, what are we doing with the 8,760 hours that we have on this earth? Do we need to load our calendars up so much? Do we need to be so overloaded with where it is that we're always going and doing? We're overloaded with possessions also. We have closets that are full, garages that we can't even park cars in anymore because they're so full of stuff, and we're overloaded with those things. We have debts that are so overloaded and so overbearing on us because we simply must have. We need more things, and so when we get more things, then it costs more money. And when it costs more money, if we don't have it, then we load it up on credit cards or other things, and you know how the society works, and then we become overloaded with this stuff, and there's a burden that is placed upon us that doesn't need to be there. And God is saying this, is that you are chasing after things that don't matter. You are chasing after things that are stealing time. Your most precious commodity that God has given us here on earth is time. You will never get it back. And God's saying, don't be so overloaded with these things. Thirdly, we're overloaded in our areas of work. We get up early. We fight traffic. For some of us, you work through horrible working conditions, all to do what? To make more money so that we can get more stuff that we can put into our garages and closets and places to finally realize that there's a hole in all of that. Because no matter how much stuff we try to gather, how much time we waste trying to get the stuff, there's always going to be a hole there. Because Jesus says, I'm sitting right here in your living room. Come and spend time with me. We can go on and on, but I think you guys get the picture on this. There's so many demands on our time, and there's so many good things that need to be done, but there's only 8,760 hours in this year, and we've already used 107. We want to make the most of every opportunity, but the question we need to wrestle with is this: how do we make the most of every opportunity? How do we steward our time wisely? What do we need to do for the rest of 2014, for the time that God has given us for this year that we can measure in a calendar, but know that we only have a moment here because we don't know how much time we have? You know what we need to do? It's very simple, very simply stated, is that we need to understand the Lord's will. We need to understand the Lord's will. Paul tells us this. He says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What do you think? Take a moment now and think about your life right now. What do you think the will of God is in 2014? Now, for some of us in here, probably have scratched our heads a little bit. Do you think this? Do you think that God wants your mind and your time filled with anxiety and worries? Do you think that God wants your life so full of stuff that you can't have a spiritual thought because you have so much anxiety going on inside of you? Do you think that that's the will of God? I don't at all. Do you think that he wants our calendars that are so crowded and so jam full of stuff that we don't have time for what he is considering the important things? Not what we consider important, but what he considers important? I don't think so. I think that he wants to give us, do you think, let me ask you this, do you think that he wants to give you more stuff to help you be satisfied for the moment? Now, I think that's how we think. I think that God just wants to keep giving us more and more stuff so that we'll be satisfied. And honestly, it's just a waste of time. So if that's not it then, if that's not God's will for 2014, then how do we know what God's will is in 2014? How can we act wisely then with the time that we have left here on earth, or here at least in this year, if not even here on earth? I'll tell you how we know what God's will is. You ready? You need to look for where God is working and then go join him. That's God's will. So many times, see, we pray the wrong prayer. Okay? We'll come to an altar or our homes, wherever it may be, and we ask this question. We say, God, what is your will for my life? That's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. Because when we say, God, what is your will for my life? That is a selfish prayer that we are asking to the Father. Instead, it should be, God, what is your will? Then leave it. God, what is your will? And then as God reveals that, as God shows you where he is working, then all that our answer is, yes. Then God, I will go join you in that. Because it has nothing to do with my life. Because if my life is truly given over to God, if my life is truly to say, like Jesus, is that I just want to do the will of the Father, then my life has nothing to do with it. It all has to deal with God's will. So God, what is your will? That is the question that we need to be asking God and we need to be praying. And then we wait for him to answer and God will say this, let me show you where I am working. It may be that we are trying to work in the kitchen like Martha when the whole time God says, my will is for you to sit at my feet and stop trying to work and do. Although God may also be saying, listen, you're spending a lot of time in needless behavior and you're wasting it when my will the entire time is for you to be right here. We need to stop asking God, what is your will for my life? And just start asking God, what is your will? 8,760 hours for us to stand in front of God the rest of this year. And we need to ask God, what is your will? And then say, yes, I will join you in it. This is what I hope that you, when you ask that, all right, not God, what do I need to do or how do I need to do it, is that God, what is your will? I hope that you will discover this, is that God is going to begin to tell you some things. He's going to tell you this. He's going to say, you know what? I want you to have a relationship with me, not just salvation. Though that's obviously important. That's the starting gate. But Jesus says, I want relationship with you every single breathing second. I want relationship with you. Not just on a Sunday, not just when I open up the Word, not just when I pray. Every breathing moment, God says, part of my will is to have you with me. Relationship with God. Let me ask us this. When we talk about, sometimes at this point, people talk about resolutions or their goals for the next year. Let me ask you something. Is one of your priorities that God will have all of you, all of your affection, all of your life, every single hope, dream, goal, aspiration, all of it? Is that one of your goals and thoughts for this year? One of your resolutions is to have a deeper relationship with the Father who's literally sitting in the living room where we may be working in the kitchen? If we truly want that, then you know what? It's going to affect our entire life. But do you know where it will be proved? We can write it down. We can even tell it to each other. But it's going to be proved in action. It saddens me very, very much to know that in the day and age that we live in, that even right now on a Sunday morning, that there are children's sports happening right now, probably indoors, obviously. But on Sunday morning, children's sports are being played, and families are choosing that watching their child kick and get a goal is more important than bringing their kid into fellowship with believers on a Sunday morning and showing them that a priority is God, not how many points you can score or not by being a good teammate. That saddens me very much. Because then what happens is this, is that as these children grow up, I know, I was a youth pastor, I've dealt with this. As these children grow up, they have been taught and watched mom and dad say, listen, church and fellowshipping with other believers and God himself, he is just convenient when we have time for him, but you can put other things ahead of him. Then as we watch children go astray, then we look at that and then the parent comes to you and then they say, you've got to pray for my kid, when the whole time I want to grab the parent and say, wait a minute. You told them that on Sunday this was more important. And yeah, we're going to pray for them. Yes, we're going to get them back. But we have to change some priorities. We have to change some things that we do with our time. Do you see? Listen, I'm not saying that children's sports is bad, all right? I'm all for children's sports. I'm with that. But do you see how Satan begins to steal time? It's the right thing to put a kid in sports. I don't see anything. It's not sin. I don't see anything wrong with that. But do you see how Satan has crept into our society so much that he says, even Sunday morning, the parent doesn't have enough time. The kid doesn't have enough time during the week anymore. The only time that they have to play this is on Sunday morning, so that just makes sense. And then we have a whole generation that begins walking away from God because we haven't made him a priority. When we don't spend time with the Father, when we don't prioritize him, when we don't make him part of every single element in our life, when the bottom falls out of your life, every single one of us in here will have a crisis moment because of the world that we live in. When that happens and we go to God and we say, God, what am I supposed to do? Or God, I need you to help me. And then all of a sudden, we're trying to open our ears, but we find God silent. And then we cry out to God. We say, well, God doesn't even care about me. He's not even talking to me anymore. I can't even hear him. And God himself is saying, listen, I've been speaking the entire time, but you've been too busy to stop and listen to me. And now all of a sudden, you want to hear from me. And the whole time, I have been whispering in your ear, come to me. Come sit down. Slow down. Spend time with me. Be in relationship with me. I will show you how to take care of all this stuff. This stuff that keeps in trying to intrude in your life. This is not from me, God is saying. And the whole time we're trying to find out God's will. Why? Because we want to be wise. We don't want to waste our time in 2014. 8,760 hours. I don't want to mess up or miss a moment of that. I want every single second to be engaged with God the Father. You know, to do that, sometimes we need to schedule some things. You know, over the summer, this past summer, I read a book. It's by a man by the name of Andrew Murray. It's a great book. It's called With Christ in the School of Prayer. I'd strongly recommend it for anybody in here to read that book. I didn't have to be at work until 8 o'clock in the morning, all summer long. But I got up at 5 a.m. every day, and I engaged with that book. Why? Because I knew that when my day got started, I would lose time. I'd lose time working, and then when I got home, I had family responsibilities. Before I knew it, it was getting late, and then I would try to read or try to engage, but by the time my mind was tired, and I knew that the only time that I had fresh was early in the morning. Now, 5 o'clock in the morning is a early time. But I said, God, this man, Andrew Murray, knew something about you in prayer, and I want to know what that is. All summer long, as I began to get, I got up at 5 o'clock every morning, even Saturdays and Sundays too. It's what disciplined me, I guess, to maybe be here at 6 on a Sunday, because I wanted to spend time with God. Do you know, sometimes even now we see this too, is that there are reading plans. You can go through the Bible in a year. You know, read a passage, and you can get through the Bible in 365 days. Do you know that for 1 hour and 10 minutes, now think about this, all right? It may mean getting up a little bit earlier, adjusting a few things, making some time in your schedule. Do you know that 1 hour and 10 minutes every day, if you want to make it a priority, that you can schedule time to read your Bible and you will be done with the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 90 days. 1 hour and 10 minutes a day. 90 days. And that means you can read it 4 times over in a year. How much wisdom is that? 1 hour and 10 minutes. If you wonder how does that work, I will guarantee you, I've done it. And I will guarantee you it would take 1 hour and 10 minutes. If you want to know how to do that, see me afterwards and I'll tell you how. Then we need to learn how to live for today. This is what we need to learn. How to live for the day, for today. There's two of the greatest enemies of our time are regrets of things of the past and anxiety for what will happen in the future. Those are two big time killers, time stealers. Regrets from the past. I'm worried about what is about to happen. And many of us, we're either living in the past with regrets, or we're living so far ahead with anxiety because our mind continues to play out scenario after scenario after scenario of what if, what if, what if. And we live too far into the future. And we have anxiety for that. Some of us in here are engaged of a little game called I Wish. I wish it were. I wish it were next week. I wish it were next month. I wish I didn't have to do this right now. I wish that this day was over. Someone said this, is that life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. It's true, isn't it? Another year, 2013, it's come and gone. We will never, ever get 2013 back. It's done. All that we have is today. And as this new year, as it stretches out before us, we need to ask the Lord to do this. Lord, help us as we spend the next 8,760 hours, minus the 108 now that we've just lost. Help us to spend those, God, wisely. Help us to steward it. Help us, God, that we can weave you into all of it so that we can know your will, that we can join you in it, and that we can advance your kingdom here on earth. As we close out this morning, I want to give you two gifts. Number one is time. I want to get you out of here a little bit early today. I want to give you back a gift of time. Second thing I want to give you is a blessing. I want to give you this blessing. This is what I want to bless you with, even through 2014, is this. I pray this for every one of you here this year and those who are not here, is that you have enough happiness to keep you sweet, but enough trials to keep you strong. My prayer for the church is this, is that we have enough sorrows to keep us human, but enough hope to keep us happy, that we have enough failure to keep us humble, but enough success to keep us eager. I'm praying that we have friends that give you comfort, that you have enough wealth to meet your needs, that there's enough enthusiasm in 2014 that makes you look forward to tomorrow, and enough determination to make each and every day better than the day before. I'm praying this for every person in here, that we steward and use the 8,760 hours that God gives us for Him, to know His will, to act wisely, and to advance His kingdom. That's my prayer for this church. I encourage you to do this. I strongly encourage you to come back next Sunday. All right? Because this is what we're going to do with our time. We're going to spend some time in the book of Nehemiah. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be real exciting. It's going to be challenging for us. And when you come back next week, I want us to see that God has a plan for us. God has a will for this church. And He's going to lay it out for us in the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to do just what we said this morning, is that we are going to join Him. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord. Father, I thank You for our moments here together, God. I thank You for the time You've given us here on this earth. God, we are praying and asking, what is Your will? And God, I pray that You will reveal it to us, Lord, whether it be in a whisper, or God, whether You come in a thundercloud, whatever it may be, God, that You would give us Your will. But God, I pray that we will steward the time that You've given us. Lord, even as it has been said and even confessed today, that Lord, that there are some things that intersect with our life. Help us to realize, Lord, what is it that Satan is trying to distract us from? What is it, God, that You are calling us to? Lord, give us the wisdom and the discernment to know what either side is, and then, Lord, to be able to engage You. Lord, I pray You be with every single person, Lord, as they leave this place, Lord. I pray for safety for them, Lord, as they get back to their homes. Lord, that You give every single person here traveling mercies. That, Lord, that You will protect us as well as the city, Lord, during all the snow that's coming in. Lord, could this be that You will allow a city to be snowed in so that we can spend some time with You even at the beginning of the year? God, will You engage us? And will You do exactly, Lord, what You want done? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Be blessed. Have a great week. Drive very safely and be very careful walking out in the parking lot. God bless you.